tell us what to wear. You think that you're better. Well, you better get ready. Bow to the man. Darkest parts of humanity, life, death, and the other side. Have no fear, you are not alone. Others are coming with you. Others who, just like you, are about to go beyond the threshold. Are you ready? Well, then let's go. B.T.T. Good evening, and welcome to this edition of Beyond the Threshold. I'm your host, Gary Blackheart. Tonight on BTT, we were originally scheduled to bring you an episode on pagan weddings and hand fastings, going with the most recent major change in my personal journey through life. However, we're going to go ahead and place that on the back burner this evening, as the person we will be working closely with regarding the topic is currently unavailable at this time, probably doing another wedding, which is awesome in itself. But that's not a problem. Alright, before we get on with tonight's episode, I want to first and foremost send out my deepest sympathies towards those who were affected by the tragedies in Boston and West Texas recently. While it is clear that the tragedies like this are not commonplace here in the United States, they have unfortunately become more frequent. And while other parts of the world, such as Middle East and Southeast Asia and places like that, they witness these violent acts, such as the event in Boston or the one in West Texas, on a regular basis, we often get the mentality of, well, it's not in my backyard, right before it actually occurs right in our backyard. Now, I do offer warm healing energies to those affected by the events of the past couple of days. However, to the rest of us in the United States, I deliver a message of caution. Do not for one second think that this cannot or will not ever happen to or near you. There is always the possibility that a tragedy can befall each and every one of us at any given moment. And ultimately, I ask each and every one of you out there, are you prepared? Do you have a plan? Can you assure the safety and well-being of yourself and others around you? You don't have to run around thinking the sky is falling to be vigilant and be prepared for the worst. What you do, however, need to do is to get a plan of action together in the event something like this does happen. And most importantly, I urge everyone out there, if you see something out of the ordinary, say something. Don't be too timid to blow the whistle if you see suspicious activity. And that being said, do not think for a second that I want everyone to be paranoid and go running for the hills. Quite the contrary, this is not Fox News. Unlike some systems in place or in this world that depend on scaring the shit out of the very people they govern, BTT doesn't govern anyone, nor do we want anyone to get all scurred over the possibility. Just, I don't know, have a plan in case shit goes downhill in a bad way. Now, when we come back from our first break, we will jump into this evening's topics. Stay tuned. This is going to be Crux Shadows with Windbringer, followed by Lacuna Coil with Within Me. We'll be right back.
Stadt wieder zu Häusern auferstehen. Doch bleiben viele Fenster leer, für viele gab es keine Wiederkehr. Und über das, was grad noch war, spricht man heute lieber gar nicht mehr. Doch ich frag mich, wer wir sind. Wir sind hier, wir stehen hier, aufgeteilt, besiegt und doch schließlich leben wir ja noch. Wir sind wir stehen hier, das kann's doch nicht gewesen sein, keine Zeit zum traurig sein. Wir sind wir stehen hier, wir sind. Verstanden aus Ruinen dachten wir, wir hätten einen Traum vollbracht. 40 Jahre zogen wir an einem Strang, aus Asche haben wir Gold gemacht. Jetzt ist mal wieder alles anders, und was vorher war, ist heute nichts mehr wert. Jetzt können wir haben, was wir wollen, aber wollten wir nicht eigentlich viel mehr? Und ich frag mich, wo wir stehen. Wir sind wir stehen hier, wieder eins in einem Land. Reich und abgebrannt. Wir sind wir stehen hier. So schnell kriegt man uns nicht rein, keine Zeit zum Bitter sein. Wir sind wir stehen hier. Wir sind. Zeit besiegt und doch schließlich gibt es uns ja immer noch. Wir sind und wir werden es überstehen, denn das Leben muss ja weitergehen. Wir sind das ist doch nur ein schlechter Lauf, so schnell geben wir doch jetzt nicht auf.
Anywho, so on with the show, right? Glad you stuck around. We are chock full of intel here this evening, so let's throw this show right into high gear and get started. For starters, there is this really, really awesome pagan holiday coming up. Have you heard of it? No? Come on now. It's got the strangest reputation of all the holidays out there. No? Still in the dark? Shame, shame, shame. Well, anywho, Beltane is fast approaching, and you know what that means. That's right, fertility rituals, maypole dancing, and tons of happy bonfires scattered amongst the land, amongst other happy items. But is that it? Is Beltane just about that? No. Let's clue you in on what Beltane really is all about. Jumping in the Wayback Machine, we take a look at the times of the 6th, 7th, and 8th centuries in the areas of Scotland, Ireland, and the Isle of Man. Beltane was originally unique to that area back then, and was the celebration of the beginning of summer, and was a sabbat of optimism, fertility, and virility. The festivals held back then were honoring ancestors, praying for a good harvest of crops later that year, and used the way as ways of protecting followers from otherworldly spirits, as well as invigorating the libidos of those who were looking for a mate. Strangely enough, this festival is also in a way where we get the idea of spring fever, which I'll riff on about in a moment. Anyways, as the centuries passed, Beltane evolved from its ancient roots and became primarily a festival for three things: fertility, welcoming the summer, and praying for a good harvest later that year. Now, mind you, we're still talking the Scots, the Irish, and those from the Isle of Man. When we skip in time just a bit further and enter the time of Wicca, Neo-Paganism, and the like, there are still elements of Beltane being a sacred holiday in the same sense as it was back in the day. However, once again, Beltane has evolved into a more festive and spiritually energizing Sabbat, honoring the Maiden of Spring and the Horn God in their fertility dance in the coming summer. And yes, the Beltane fires still burn, and yes, we still dance around the maypole pole, and yes, the American mainstream still considers Memorial Day as the start of summer, so we technically get dibs on summertime before they do. Yay us. Oh, and just an FYI, spring fever was, is, and always will be directly linked to Beltane. Remember I said I was going to riff on this, right? The actual phrase spring fever is used to describe the physiological effects that the changing of the seasons had on human beings. Strange as this may seem, we apparently want to go outdoors more, have more energy, and are more fertile during the spring and summer months. It couldn't possibly be because we are attuned to nature, as all livings are, and our natural cycles of life are tuned in with the changing seasons, right? Nah, it couldn't possibly be linked to the increases of temperature, the relation to the earth or to the sun, or even the changing phases and distances of the moon in relation to the earth and sun, could it? Nah, it's probably got something to do with baseball or NASCAR, or maybe it's an actual disease, or maybe it's exactly what I described, and during Beltane that very change in energy and virility and fertility is celebrated. What a fucking coincidence, right? But nah, I'm way off base. Switching gears. Alright, in the world of the paranormal this time around, apparently the ghost of Lady Winchcombe is haunting a family of Kate Middleton. That's right. As if she didn't get enough press, the Princess of Wales has now got family that's been haunted. According to UK's Mirror News, the £4.7 million manor estate that the princess's family resides in has recently been the host of the Lady Winchcombe, riding in a carriage being driven by a headless carriageman, sources say. Winchcombe, if you recall, was the woman who allegedly died of a broken heart after her husband cheated on her and became rumored to have changed into a banshee after her death. Now, according to Middleton's family, the lady appears garbed in white, as most lady in whites do, sitting in a carriage driven by 8 ghostly horses and sporting a headless carriageman on top of the carriage as it passes by the manor, because all these entities decided to stage this together. While it passes, according to the family, strange wailing sounds can be heard from inside the carriage, directly from the lady herself. Even stranger than that, her first sighting was way back in 1898, so she's an old one. Now, how's that for being consistent? And although several attempts by paranormal research teams and psychic mediums alike try to lay the spirit of the lady to rest have been made, apparently this one just keeps on coming. Which brings me to my next topic in this segment, and the main topic for the evening, which we will get right into after this break, so stay tuned. Hopefully this is going to queue up. This is Lacuna Coil with Kill the Light. If it doesn't queue up, then we're going to have another song immediately after that, so stay tuned. and welcome back. Now, when I made mention of this infamous lady here, I referenced the thought that after numerous attempts to, after numerous attempts to try and tell her to take some rest, or to try to, you know, get her to, how should I put this? To get her to move forward or move on, by various groups to satiate the spirit, it still remains. She still stayed around. Well, this unfortunately happens to the quite often, and it brings forth the following question. Should we, as mortals living in this realm, purposely go out of our way to remove a spirit from this side of the threshold? In other words, is it really our place to send these visitors from the other side back from whence they came from? Now, there's a little bit of thought in going on in this. There's a little bit of thought and practice going on in this concept. The reason why I state this, that I state that there is, in fact, a reason for all of this stuff, it kind of makes you kind of wonder. It really, really does. Do we have the right to say, look at our, you know, a family member that has recently passed in your life, and do you have the right as a human being to say, I would like for this, I want you to let go, sweet, I want you to let go, insert family member name here, I would like for you to move forward, it's okay, you can ascend, it's all right, you don't have to be here anymore, you can go away now. Do we have that right? There are a couple of different schools of thoughts that are out, and when I thought about this, I was kind of confused as to whether we would actually have the authority as free-thinking, conscientious people to tell another free-thinking, conscientious person to do. I mean, in the real world, you can tell someone that you don't want to be with them anymore, or you can tell someone to, you don't want them to be in the same room with you, so you tell them to get out, or you can, you know, shoo away a pet, or you can perhaps maybe tell an employee to go home, clock out and go home, or something like that. You can order other living beings around. You really don't have that right, but you can do so. It's entirely plausible. And yet, when we are doing this, we're living people talking to other living beings, other living things. In my mindset, I'm thinking, no one, not one single person on this earth has dominion or control over another, regardless of whether or not you are in charge of a organization and so on and so forth. One person does not have dominion or control over another person. One cannot force another person to move, unless, you know. But we don't really have that right to do so, but yet we impose that right upon ourselves. We allow to give us that right. We put firearms in our arms, or we instill terror, or we, you know, like in the case of the bombings in Boston, or the explosions in Texas, we force our opinions on people, such as an opinionated talk show, or a preacher giving a sermon, or even this podcast. We take our opinions and we bring them out there into the open and try to impose that upon you. And we try to get you to listen. But is it our right to force you to listen to us? Or is it your choice as the person who is receiving this information, as the person who is receiving the other end of this communication, the other end of the statement, to choose whether to listen or not? For example, if you're having a bad day at work, and your boss is constantly hounding on you and telling you that you got to do this and you have to do that, and he's working your fingers to the bone and he's making you do things that you do not want to do, is he allowed and authorized and so on and so forth to treat you like a common animal, or treat you less like you are less than human? Or are you giving him that by not telling him to go fuck himself? You cannot treat me like this. Is it your decision to allow him to speak, to beat on you because you filled out the application, you decided you wanted the job, you wanted the paycheck? Is it your choice, or is it him telling you what to do and that's his right? It's a little bit, it can be debated on the living side. On this side of the on other side, however, when you're dealing with other side folk, it's a completely different animal. Now, there are two sides to look at this when the question is asked. The first concept is that we as humans want to believe that those who pass before us are off to a much better place than they were when they were here amongst us in the flesh form. We try to, for some deeply psychologically self-reassuring reason, work with spirits to help them let go of the ties that bind them to this plane of existence and assist them in their path of ascension. In a way, we're doing one last good deed for them by helping them along the way when we feel that they've lost their path or they've become stuck between realms, and in a sense, that also provides us with the catharsis we need to come to terms with their passing and ultimately be able to let go of our attachments to them in the living world. Now, this belief comes from a long line of psychic mediums and spiritualists and preachers and so on and so forth telling you they claim that if we learn ourselves to say goodbye to those we have lost, that they may be able to move forward on their own without being stuck here, thanks to our holding them back. The trouble with this concept lies in the fact that as souls, whether dead or alive, we are individually created. Based on this concept, we are individually created, giving unique lives, and by giving the gift of being able to think for ourselves and feel the way we do on our own, we have the right to decide what path we will ultimately walk down on our road to ascension. And when you take into the account that concept that the only thing keeping our souls from fully reaching maximum freedom is the shells that we reside in, one can only imagine the relieving freedom a soul experiences when released from its earthly shackles and allowed to roam the plains of other side as well as here at will. Ultimately, it can then be assumed that it is up to the individual soul to choose whether to ascend or not. It's up to them to whether they want to traverse to the other side or remain here in the realm of the living. And if that were the case, then each and every medium would no doubt be one less gift that they have at their disposal. They would not be able to have the ability to help souls move forward, because souls do not move forward unless they want to. It is not our place at all to try to send the likes of Lady Winchcombe to our plane of existence and into the next one. In this concept, we simply don't have the juice or the authority. Now that's just one concept. The second version of this, the second concept, is the proverbial other side of the coin in this question, is while a soul is capable of making its own decisions, which we all know is a fundamental truth, the concept that we are all energy and started as energy and will return to being energy once we leave our shells eliminates the concept that we are able to refuse to join the collective and strike out on our own as separate entities. And yet, here's the anomaly. Those separate entities exist on multiple levels of existence, and for various reasons unbeknownst to us. While the majority of these free-floating entities are harmless and simply exist here because they have yet to make that leap on their own to ascend into ascension into the collective, others are, well, for lack of a better term, lost or stuck or usually by our doing, and require our assistance to help them become unstuck, found, or otherwise freed in order for them to take the next step towards the collective. With some, it requires a simple act of on our end of the attachment to let go and allow them to move forward. Our unwillingness to say goodbye binds them here and thusly forces them to remain unable to ascend into the collective, causing them to become angered and ultimately do what we call haunting. They don't mean to do it, they just want to move on. But to that end, we work with mediums, prayer circles, or groups, or grief counselors to reach the point where we can sever the tie and allow the entity to ascend into the collective energy that is the universe. And sometimes this may take multiple attempts, as in the case of Lady Winchcombe, to get the entity to move forward. And sometimes, as in the case of Lady Winchcombe, that may be impossible. With other entities, however, simply giving them the help that they need to move forward isn't going to cut it. These ones have chosen to deliberately stay here and wreak havoc upon us in various ways and levels of outright annoyance. That's where the heavy hitters, the wolf packs, and the ghost hunters come into play. Regardless of whether it's their choice or not to stay here, their presence here and what they resist on doing to the living here is simply not going to work out, and they must be told to go away, to get the fuck out of here. So, to answer the question using this concept, I would have to say yes, we have to and we must. But then again, there's also something floating around out there that spirit, once it leaves the body, simply changes to energy and joins the collective and ceases to have an identity. And then there's the concept that universe determines whether our soul gets to ascend or remain to come back to life. And then there's the concept that once we are dead and that's it. Or God determines whether we go to heaven or hell, or whether we go, what we do after we die, or Satan determines whether we have to do, or what happens to us after we die, or the flying spaghetti monster. There are so many various reasons and various ideas out there that are just blows our mind as to which one is the right concept, the right belief. So ultimately, to answer the original question, do we have the right to tell spirits to move forward? It would have to break down to what you, the individual, truly believe, in my opinion. And until one concept is proven positive as fact, and everyone accepts those facts as to be the one and only set of facts, it is going to have to remain up to the individual. Ultimately, if you want to know the real answer as to whether you have the right to tell somebody to go away or not, why don't you ask the dead themselves? Trust me. They'll know before we would. They obviously would know the answers before we would. Or you can essentially just, pass on yourself, find out the answer on your own, and keep it to yourself because everybody else will think you're a kook. But we don't all have that opportunity, do we? Anywho, we'll be right back. The next song on our shopping list is Switchblade Symphony with Fear, followed by Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Kanye West. Yes, I'm pulling a Kanye with Run This Town here on BTC.
I see the children. Yeah.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when nickels down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who gon' run this town tonight.
Said it, we are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Get your batiks on. All black, everything. Black cards, all black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with they diligence. I get more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is La Familia. I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave Doug a grip, I lost a flip for 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5, 6, 0, shot zeros, hit the back to running circles round niggas, now we squared up, hold up.
Life's a game, but it's not fair, yeah. I break the rules, so I don't care,
uh-huh.
So I keep doing my own thing, walking tall against the rain. Victory's within the mile, almost there, don't give a hell. Only thing that's on my mind is who gon' run this town tonight.
Dark Caesar, please follow the leader. So Eric B, we are microphone fiend. It's the return of the God, peace God. It ain't nobody fresher. I'm in Mason, Martin, Marcella on the table screaming. Fuck the other side, they jealous. We got a banquet full of bras, they got a table full of fellas.
Yeah.
And they ain't spending no cake. They should throw their hand in, cause they ain't got no space. My whole team got dough, so my bank head is looking like millionaires, bro.
Life's a game, but it's not fair. I break the rules, so I don't care. So I keep doing my own thing. Walking tall against the rain. Victory's within the mile. Almost there, don't give up now. Only thing that's on my mind is who gon' run this town tonight.
You could go from being Joe Blow to everybody on your dick, no homo. I bought my whole family whips, no Volvos. Next time I'm in church, please, no photos. Police escorts, everybody passports. This the life that everybody asked for. This a fast life, we are on a crash course. What you think I rap for, to push a fucking rap for? But I know that if I stay stunting, all these girls only gon' want one thing. I could spend my whole life goodwill hunting. Only good gon' come is as good when I'm coming. She got an ass that'll swallow up a D-string. And up top, two B-stings. And I'm B-sting off the Riesling. And my nigga just made it out the precinct. We give a damn about the drama that you do bring. I'm just trying to change the color on your mood ring. Reebok, baby, you need to try some new things. Have you ever had shoes without shoestrings? What's that, yay? Baby, these heels, is that a mate? What? Baby, these wheels. You tripping when you ain't sipping, have a refill. You're feeling like you're running, huh? Now you know how we feel.
Forward, and that was Jay-Z, Rihanna, and Kanye West with Run This Town, and it was following Switchblade Symphony with Fear here on BTT. Sorry about the little bit of a silent pause there. Anywho, as I was saying, at the beginning of this podcast, I mentioned about two incidents, the bombings in Boston and the explosion in Texas. Now, while the two incidents were unrelated to each other, they were, in one unfortunate way, very similar to not only the each other, but similar to incidents happening around the world as of late. And I'm talking about the incredible loss of life that has been occurring recently, be it on the local and individual levels or on a much grander scale, such as the happenings of this week and all around the world in areas like the Middle East and, you know, in Southeast Asia. Countless hundreds of thousands of people lose their lives every year globally due to acts of violence, explosions, natural disasters, and while a very small number of these deaths could not be prevented, the majority ultimately could have been prevented had we not allowed the violence to occur or taken steps to protect ourselves in the event of a natural disaster and responded faster en masse in the event of an explosion. Now, while both events this week took center stage, they in reality only did so because it happened in the United States. You can't argue with that. It actually, because we are the center of the world as far as media is concerned. Now, if it happened in any other country that was prone to these events taking place, the media would not be so likely to broadcast it, we would not be aware of it, and life for us would continue to keep moving forward, as it is doing so right now. It sounds like a terrible thing for me to say, but in reality, you know I'm telling the truth. So instead of having a moment of silence on behalf of those who have fallen in Texas and in Boston this week, we here at BTT are asking for you to take a moment and share with us a time of pause and reflection as we have a moment of silence for everyone across the globe that has died this week due to acts of violence. Thank you. Perhaps if we came together, got past the bullshit of politics and religious dick waving, and perhaps worked together rather than against each other, maybe, just maybe, there will be people alive today that died this week. I sure would like to think so. And on that note, that's all behind we have for the show this evening. Tune in next time as we take another wild ride beyond the threshold, and hopefully I'll have a more steady train of thought so that the subject matter will actually continue to keep being in one pace and rather than scatter all over the place. Unless you like that format, in which case we'll continue to keep doing so. Just shoot me an email. Go to facebook.com/BTTBeyondTheThreshold or look on our Podomatic page. Look up Beyond the Threshold on our Podomatic site at podomatic.com. Or you can go up and search Facebook for Beyond the Threshold, and you can look up me, Gary Blackheart, and I'm pretty sure you'd be able to do that. So, on behalf of everyone here at BTT, including my new wife, and our unborn child along the way, and the two children sleeping in the next room, and all the dogs and cats and rabbits and fish and everybody else in this house, and in our home, and in our hearts, I bid you namaste, merry part, blessed be, and good night. This is Kitty with Run Like Hell.